your hit music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Good evening to everyone. We thank God for a beautiful Saturday evening. From now till 9 p.m., we'll be going through this program. First, we'll be talking about some of the news happening, and then we'll talk a bit about the Word of God relating to some of the things happening. And the last few weeks, I've been talking about the importance of the Word in us. We need the Word. And indeed, every passing day, if the things happening in the world justifies the need why we need the Word more than ever before. All right, greetings to listeners, wherever they are, both in and out of their country. All right, let me start off this news from Hawaii this week. I believe those who watch foreign news should have seen the fire in Maui, as they call it, Maui or something, M-A-U-I. This island, and it's terrible. I mean, like, the fire just took them by surprise. Either you face the fire or you jump into the sea. Those were the options for people. And as at this afternoon, 80 people so far counted dead. And they are saying that even these are just bodies outside the buildings. They are here to get into burnt buildings to see the exact number. And it's quite, if you look at the pictures, the videos, it's horrible. The heat alone, even boats, some of the beaches, the boats have melted. So you can imagine how. So it's like you are caught the fire behind you, the sea before you, and people had to jump into the ocean, and it's terrible. And you see, there's extreme weather happening across the continents. Extreme floods are ravaging China. The temperatures are also hugely ravaging parts of Europe. The fires, and you see, so a lot is happening. But, well, they have put it on climate change, as they call it. They will call it, you know. But the issue is, you see, when God gives advance notice to his prophets that we'll be seeing these things as a way of waking up the world, getting people's attention. But, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't seem to be waking up the world at all. I mean, we'll be able to find a reason why we are having these things, and nobody in the normal media setting will talk about or link it to the hand of God behind some of these things. But they call it climate change. That means they don't even recognize that there's a God that can do these things. But you see, we forget that there's the owner of this world, God, who created it. He can do anything. He can do anything. All right, we have nearly, this is really serious, nearly 50,000 Americans died by suicide in 2022. A record high by the CDC. A total of 49,449 Americans died by suicide in 2022, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Thursday. This is a 2.6% increase from 48,183 in 2021. The devil is really working. Really, really, really working. You know, it's really serious. Because, you see, suicide is one way the devil deceives people that is the best way out of your solution, like best solution out of your challenges, your situation, the challenge, the marriage, the divorce. All these deceptions come, oh, this is the best solution. Just kill yourself. And, you know, in recent times, too, surveys or statistics is also adding up to the fact that the transgender, when they turn, people turn to transgender, I mean, they do the transitioning from male to female, female to male, either way. Eventually, they are not happy with their new found bodies, and the pressure to commit suicide becomes high amongst these numbers. These people, the numbers are quite high. And you see, the devil really doesn't care about what you are doing or what you are engaged in. The ultimate point is you getting to hell. So if he can deceive you to be doing all the things that you are deceived, that to make you happy, you realize that it's not even making you happy. But at the end of the day, his ultimate aim is getting you into hell. And it's really unfortunate. Really, really, really unfortunate how, you know, the deception that, oh, if you kill yourself, you are fine. You are going to heaven. If you are Christian, we have to be careful. We really have to be careful. You know, sometimes when you say this, I remember some years back when I was on Facebook, there was a case, something like that, and I wrote about, suicide is not a way out, and, you know, the devil really takes advantage of it. I remember a woman used to be a friend on Facebook, you know, one of those people who are friends, but you don't really know them in person, you know, those times. The woman was furious and all that. Then, apparently, the son committed suicide. So, it's like, so far as the son committed suicide, the son is going to heaven, so you can't say anything apart from that. So it's like, you know, but that's when you realize how we twist scriptures to just suit our feelings. And it's one of those things. We really have to be careful with that one. All right, so we continue. Then we have, many young adults say marriage is an outdated tradition, according to a survey in the U.S., you know, it's not far from the truth regarding how the youth are seeing marriage these days. You know, it's even not surprising. You know, look at the high percentage of divorce happening. If you know, you hear young people even marrying and soon after they are divorcing, and you ask yourself, so what did they know about marriage? Why did they even marry in the first place? And all sorts of things. A friend told me of a case some years back. This was pre-COVID era. And like she was telling me how a couple, at the time when they were at the altar, they've spoken to their lawyers already. So after wedding, this world. It's like they agreed to go on with the wedding because of the high-profile nature of it. Like rich families, people have been invited. You know, they don't want to cancel it embarrass the families and all. So, okay, let's agree in principle that we'll marry and after the marriage we'll divorce. It's like, whoa. This is how people are seeing marriage. That sanctity of it, a holy union, now the society doesn't really see it as something as holy, something that's so precious in the sight of God. No. It's just they see it as a social something. You see, and when we have this perception, obviously, people will not see it as an important thing. So there's no desire. Let me just read part of this report that says that while a significant number of millennials and Generation Zs view marriage as an outdated tradition and are opting for cohabitation instead, many still plan to marry someday, according to a survey. As a survey conducted by the Thriving Center of Psychology found earlier this summer, 2 in 5 millennials and Generation Zs view marriage as an outdated tradition, a mindset held by 41% of men and 52% of women. 85% said marriage is not necessary to have a fulfilled and committed relationship, perhaps another 73% believe that getting married in the current economy is too expensive. Researchers also analyzed 100 of the most populous cities in the U.S. with data available from the U.S. Census Bureau on the number of cohabiting couples. Lisa Anderson, director of Young Adults for the Christian Organization Focus on the Family and host of Boundless Show radio program, told the Christian Post in a statement that she believes many young adults are settling for conditional or toxic relationships. With many being part of the largest divorce generation in history, an increasing number of young adults now view marriage as a prize that's unwinnable. But instead of letting them simply stumble into defeat, we at Boundless are offering them a vision for marriage that begins with the personal growth, relational commitment, and determination to see marriage as a journey, not a capstone. Healthy individuals attract healthy individuals, and healthy men and women make great marriages, she added. And she goes on and on. You know, this is one aspect of it where if there's a generation that is having high incidence of sexual, perversion and sins and all that, it's this generation. Because people just don't want to be committed to, like, a husband and a wife conditional, the marriage setting as it is, God's plan of it. They are not seeing it that way. They just want to be free, to do whatever they want to do, cohabit, change as many partners as they can, and all that. And you see, this is how deceptive the devil is. The devil always knows how to play the game. That's a fact. He knows how to play the game of deceiving. But as believers, we should know who he is and how he is and how he plays his game, because you are not ignorant of his devices. It's a bit sad and worrying that even believers are beginning to fall into this category of being deceived about the importance of marriage, the importance of being committed to a single union. Now, you see, we have all sorts of statements. You see, so this puts people in confusion. Oh, it's not important to, marry, you can just cohabit, it doesn't matter, you just have to, all that matters is you are just settled. There's a case I heard a while back where this women's fellowship leader was angry against the pastor of a church for the pastor insisting that, preaching against fornication, and this woman fellowship leader, who was whatever reason part of the marriage counseling team in the church, was rather encouraging the women to ensure they sleep with the guys to ensure they are okay biologically and all that. So pastor is preaching the gospel the right way: do not fornicate before marriage. And then you have someone in the counseling team also encouraging them that they should test it before they get married. So you realize we have all sorts of perversion running through the body of Christ these days. It's really, really worrying and serious. Okay. Supreme Court in Canada refuses to hear appeals over worship restrictions on Christian churches. So the Supreme Court of Canada has declined to hear appeals from churches in Ontario and British Columbia that challenge pandemic restrictions on in-person worship. The churches have been fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for violating gathering limits. And now, fast forward, we've gone past this COVID system and all that. Clearly, common sense should dictate that all those restrictions were, overboard. It was just draconian and all. But, when the church is the target for hatred, they don't care about common sense again. Then the state of Missouri in the U.S., Missouri Senior Center cancels weekly Bible study after some residents were offended. So a Christian legal advocacy group is threatening to sue a Missouri Senior Living Center after it allegedly banned residents from holding Bible studies. you know, these living centers, like or quarters or whatever, for the elderly, they have waiting rooms, living rooms, where the Christians will gather and do their Bible study. These are old people, retirees and all. And, of course, some got offended and reported. And because of that, the Christians have been banned from doing any gathering to do Bible studies. But there is, when it comes to these things, the others can do anything, any other thing that maybe even be offensive. That one, nobody cares. But when, I mean, can you imagine Christians sitting in their little corner and gathering old people, reading their Bible and discussing it? What harm does it cause to the larger populace in the living area or the quarters or the center? But you see, the hatred for the word of God is just increasing astronomically across various places. In Mexico, former Mexican congressman has been fined for calling trans-identified politician a man who describes himself as a woman. So a Mexican civil society leader and former congressman faces a fine of more than $1,000 for referring to a trans-identified lawmaker as, quote, a man who describes himself as a woman, unquote, as a court of last resort upholds his conviction of committing, quote, gender-based political violence, unquote. Hey, I see. The non-profit legal organization ADF International announced in a statement Thursday that Rodrigo Ivan Cortes, the leader of the advocacy group Frente Nacional por la Familia, will have to pay a fine of 19,244 Mexican pesos, equivalent to $1,134, after the Superior Chamber of the Electoral Tribunal of the Federal Judicial Power upheld a lower court ruling convicting him of gender-based political violence for calling trans-identified Mexican congressional representative Salma Luvano a man who describes himself as a woman, unquote. The Superior Chamber constitutes the court of last resort. And so once their ruling is established, there's no appeal. So he's been charged with that. The lower court convicted the former lawmaker of digital violence, symbolic violence, psychological violence, and sexual violence for his social media expression. The decision handed down by the Superior Chamber on Wednesday goes beyond upholding the lower court ruling and orders him to publish the court ruling in an apology drafted by the courts on Twitter and Facebook daily for 30 days. Additionally, courts has to take a course on gender-based political violence and register on the National Registry of Persons Sanctioned in Political Matters Against Women, even though he did not commit any act against a woman, because this is a man who claims to be a woman. You see, but this is the way the world is going. This is the way. In Texas, a law that protects women's sports was signed this week, and you should see, you know, those who were for the law when they were going to the place where the governor was signing, and the trans protesters surrounding them, spitting on them, insulting them. I mean, you realize the world has become a real nasty place, because the evil is now magnified and shamelessly paraded. And those who are standing for true values of the family values and the right lifestyle and all that are rather treated as if they are criminals and they don't even deserve to be alive in this world. Let me read this interesting article from the Christian Post. It's quite a little long, but very informative and really something that I've been talking about. The title is "The Coming Persecution is Upon Us." Don't be surprised if one day you are on trial for quoting the Bible on social media. For this, I can say that it will happen one day. If that seems unthinkable, you should know it's already happening to some Christians in other parts of the world, like tropical storms that devastated Caribbean and South American nations before hitting American soil, there is a coming persecution that is already affecting Christians around the world. If things do not change, American Christians will suffer the same. In this case, I would say not only American Christians, but Christians will suffer the same storms. They are already warning signs. If things do not change, the Bible says, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. 1 Peter 4:12. Christians have become accustomed to getting banned or shadow banned on social media for beliefs, but it seems strange to think that one day we could be arrested for quoting the Bible. But that's what happened to Päivi Räsänen, a member of parliament in Finland. But that's not that's what happened to her. She's been an elected official since 1995. She was the chair of the Christian Democratic Party from 2004 to 2015. She was a minister for interior from 2015 to 2011 to 2015. And she is a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Finland with her husband, who serves as a pastor. In June 2019, Päivi tweeted a picture of Bible verses and questioned her denomination's partnership with an LGBT pride event. The prosecutor general in Finland opened an investigation against her, and in April 2021, the prosecutor announced three charges of hate speech against Päivi. One charge for the tweet, a second charge for 2004 pamphlet on sexuality for her church, and the third charge of 2019 radio debate on sexuality. Alliance Defending Freedom International supported her defense at a district court, and in an unanimous ruling in March 2022, the court dismissed all charges against her. However, the prosecutor appealed the ruling, so on August 22nd, that's this August, Päivi will stand trial again. It's tempting to think this could never happen in America. Freedom of speech is protected by law. But Päivi can say the same about her country. The constitution in Finland protects freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Therefore, it is Päivi today, but it could be your pastor tomorrow or you yourself. If a politician can be charged with hate speech for quoting the Bible, pastors can receive the same charge. If politicians can be charged for that, less powerful people like you can also be charged for quoting the Bible on social media. Last week, police officers in Wisconsin arrested several young Christians for preaching the gospel at a public drag queen event that targeted children. In June, the House of Representatives in Michigan passed a House Bill 4474, a bill that would make speech that causes the victims to feel terrorized, frightened, or threatened a hate crime. Speech against a person's sexual orientation or gender identity or expression are listed as hate crimes. Western nations like America and Finland founded their legal system on Christian ethics, but now they are radically committed to LGBT ideology and opposed to their founding values. Just as Christian theology shaped the West's legal system, LGBT theology is reshaping it. LGBT ideology cannot coexist with Christian theology. It cannot compete with the loving, hopeful, freeing gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it suppresses Christianity through persecution. It arrests Christians for preaching the gospel. It criminalizes speech against homosexuality and transgenderism. It charges people like Päivi Räsänen for quoting the Bible on social media. Like every person in Western nation, Päivi has a constitutional right to freedom of speech. However, free speech rights are irrelevant, if people aren't empowered to defend them. Like the first trial, Alliance Defending Freedom International is supporting Päivi. Please donate to them so that they'll be able to be empowered to help Päivi win a case. They help her win the first trial, and they will be continue to do so in the second trial. This trial isn't just persecution against Päivi, it is persecution against Jesus and his church. Right now, it's a trial against an elected official in Finland, but in the future, it could be a trial against the average citizen in America. and beyond, let me put it that way. Following her charges, Parvi said, quote, "I do not consider myself guilty of threatening, slandering, or insulting anyone. My statements were all based on the Bible's teachings on marriage and sexuality. I will defend my right to confess my faith so that no one else will be deprived of their right to freedom of religion and speech," unquote. So the statement says, so let's pray for this woman. You know, this article is well put because that's exactly what is happening and that's exactly what is coming. You know, they are pushing now, even the White House is really pushing for the big tech, Facebook and co, to censor some words, some speeches on social media. And the question is, why don't you want people to express themselves? Why should people be restricted into what they want to think and what they want to say? But it's like, we are always right, so whatever we say is right should be what is right. They don't care about your views, they don't care about your religion, they don't care about your constitutional rights and all that. Just bullying people because they have the power. The media houses have the power, so they can just block people's views. They can remove your content, your videos, your pictures, your tests. They can block you. But you see, eventually it's going beyond just blocking you and all that, to the point where now there have been instances where people are in their homes, they've posted something innocently on Facebook, and they get a knock on the door, police have come to arrest them for their post on Facebook because you've posted a hate speech against someone you may not even have known, but the person has seen it and has filed a complaint that is offended by your post. This is the new world we are in, where persecution against Christians online is even becoming a threat to silence people from expressing their biblical views because they don't want to hear anything about the Bible, they don't care about the Bible. So keep the Bible to yourself. That's how they express it. Interesting times indeed. I'm finishing with this last news, and that's the basis for my conversation this evening. That's the main point I'm working on, the Word of God, but why we need it. Let this news give some insight as well. Nearly 70% of churchgoers have, quote, "a growing sense of fear," unquote, according to LifeWay Research. More than 2/3 of Protestant pastors have reported that there is a growing sense of fear in their congregations regarding the future, according to a recent report by LifeWay Research. LifeWay Research released the findings of a study that found 69% of Protestant pastors said they believe there's a growing sense of fear within their congregations about the future of the nation and the world. This is referring to US, of course. But I keep saying, a lot of these stats, I mean, surveys, if you are to superimpose it in other places, like here, you will not have much variation. However, the report noted that the numbers represented a decline from past years, as 76% of Protestant pastors reported a growing sense of fear in 2010, and 74% reported the same in 2014. Scott McConnell, executive director of LifeWay Research, said in a statement that despite the declining numbers, a large majority of pastors see their congregations moving toward fear rather than away from it. A number of people in America embracing the Christian faith is on a downward trajectory. So it isn't surprising that congregations are afraid of this trend line statement, stated McConnell. Unfortunately, the growth of Christianity in other parts of the world is not bringing American Christians much comfort. Data for the report came from a phone survey across 1,000 Protestant pastors conducted in September 2022, with a sampling error of plus or minus 3.2% at 95% confidence level. The survey also found that while 64% of white pastors saw fear in their congregation, only 47% of African American pastors reported the same. Additionally, 76% of non-denominational pastors reported fear about the future of Christianity in their churches, which was more than reported by the Baptist, 68%, Methodist, 66%, Presbyterian, and Reformed pastors, 49%. One of the most terrible weapons that the devil uses against Christians is the weapon of fear, argued Oscar Amachina, president of Afri Mission and Evangelism Network, in an opinion piece for Christian Post published last year. He harps on circumstances and situations to create fear in the lives of Christians. It is natural for humans to respond to external stimuli from through fear, which is why the devil capitalizes on this to make faulty evidences appear real. Fear. You know, if we cast our minds back, you know, the last few years, COVID, 2020, 2021, and all that coming, we can see how fear was used by the media and the politicians, you know, capitalizing on COVID, push fear into people, because now that things have settled a bit, there are revelations and the truth coming out in some instances that some media houses intentionally magnified the fear factor to control people, so that people obey the mandates. So they intentionally made more of like lie to make things look so fearful, so that people would be scared, so that they will follow the stay at home orders or washing hands, whatever instructions, I mean, that was floating the system. You see, and the governments too were pushing the fear factor to the point where, so that they can use it to achieve their mandates that they set in and their targets and all that. You know, it's very unfortunate. I've said this before and I'll keep saying it, because you see, it's unfortunate how the church really was affected by this fear factor. The fear factor got into the church so well that the church was rather the most fearful group of people to a very large extent. Fear was a factor that was driving people. It's like pastors were afraid. Of course, it's not all of them, but some really, really, really were afraid. I mean, you hear some statements, if you look back 2020, some statements that some pastors made in this country, it's amazing. You realize the devil can use fear to cripple people's faith. You see, that's why we have to be very careful with fear, because fear is a spirit. You see, so when you give in to it, all your statements that follow, you realize. So now, I believe when some of these pastors go back and listen to the interviews they made and some things they said in 2020, some will be really worried and they will wish they didn't say those things. But you see, fear will cause you to say what you shouldn't say. Fear will cause you to do what you shouldn't do. But you see, the word of God is what we should hold on to and let it be our foundation. You see, and that's why we need it more than ever before now. Because you see, the truth is, this world is not going to get any better. As for that one, if anyone promises you that things are going to get better, it's not true. Nobody can say that he is going to improve things so that our life will be better than we knew. Yes, no. If for you as an individual, yes, your life can improve, things can work for you by the grace of God and the favor and God's blessings and all that, no doubt about it. But as holistic, like the country, things are going to improve for the whole country. I mean, forget it. Things are going to improve in the whole world. The world's economy is going to boom again, everything working well. No. It's not going to happen. You see, so fear is really going to dominate. And even in the times ahead, we are going to see and hear more fearful things. As Jesus even said, talks about in Matthew 24. You see, the signs of the world, like the times we are in and all that, would generate fear. Can you imagine those living on this Maui Island in Hawaii seeing fire? If you see the fire, the videos, it's really scary. And these are natural disasters which eventually, naturally, you would react in fear as a normal human being. But then, if you are not careful, you begin to live your life in fear subsequently. And that is one thing we should avoid, where we are living day to day in fear. Because it's like, we look at the conditions today, the economic conditions, the situation in the world, in the country, and all that, then it's like we have no option than to fear. So we are getting to the point where if we are not careful, we even forget about the word of God, forget about the promises of God, forget about all that we've known and believed years back. And then we hold on to fear. And you see, fear, when you allow it and you embrace it into your life, it's like a cancer, a cancerous cell. It will grow and it will expand, and eventually it will cause far more harm than you even imagined. So we really have a lot of work to do on ourselves by resisting fear, because fear is a spirit. I mean, let's just get into the Bible briefly. 2 Timothy 1, 7, where it says that, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The sound mind. The government cannot give you sound mind. No, no, no. No politician can promise you sound mind. Sound mind, we can only get it through the Holy Spirit. True sound mind. It's only God who can give you true sound mind. You see, so even irrespective of your state, you can still have sound mind if you are really trusting and depending on God. But it will amaze you that the super rich people, the rich people, they don't have sound mind unless they are Christians. They don't have sound mind. Because now, even now in Ghana, there are people who have a lot of money, but they are not, they can't sleep, they are thinking, they are worried, because what has happened to one minister, they fear it can also happen to them. So they have the money, but now the question is, hey, what if me is me too? I mean, you see, so you see, when you even have ill-gotten wealth, is a problem, because now you can't even think. Sound mind is not there. But a believer who is believing in God and trusting God can have sound mind in his little or whatever he has. So sound mind, it comes from, we get it from the Holy Spirit. Through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can have a sound mind, irrespective of our status. You see, we need the word to give us this hope. We need the word to empower us. We cannot, see, these are not the times to put the word away. No, 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 no. We need it more than ever before. We need the word more than ever before, because that is where we will derive our faith, because the word of God is what generates faith in us. We need it. We need it. Because you see, the system is gradually making it look like, you know, I've said it in earlier editions, how there's an attack on the word of God. People are saying all sorts of things. The white man's book, they use it to deceive us. And all sorts of things are being said against the word of God. And you have some believers who are falling for it, using logical reasoning to challenge things. You keep hearing all sorts of doctrines. People are saying all sorts of wild things, which ideally, you see, just to make the word of God or the Bible look like it's an inconsistent book, it's a book that is controversial. I mean, we see, so if you are not grounded in the word yourself, you begin to have shaky minds. You begin to wonder, is this really a book worth my reading or meditating on? Is it really something worth wasting my time on? You see, we become confused if you are not grounded. And you see, the devil is good at this game, where he will try to push you that, oh, stop, I mean, don't waste your time on it. Don't, you see, so if we are not careful, you keep hearing voices that will discourage you from reading your word, voices that will discourage you from studying the word, meditating on it. And then, you see, when the devil wants to attack successfully, he knows his game well, because first he has to attack the word in you, because that is the source of your defense. If he's able to attack the word successfully in you, that means you are losing your grip of your defense. So the strategy is attack the word. People lose their hope and lose their faith. Eventually,
they are standalone, then now he can really attack successfully. So we should be mindful of this, that the word of God is under attack because it is the enemy's strategy to cause us to lose our grip and to lose our defense. Because if we are not having the word in us, how can we stand in the troubling times ahead? It's obvious. For the troubling times, we cannot deny it. We cannot stop it. It's biblical. But how do we go through difficult times? How do we go through harsh conditions? It's the word that should be our foundation. But you see, because the devil knows that that is what we will hold on to, and that's what will guide us, he will discourage us from paying attention to it. He will cause us to hear things that will let us question the validity of the word of God, and the authenticity. Is like, so you hear statements by some people and it's like, this word cry, it says this, it says, I mean, like, then you start questioning, is it really the word of God? Is it? We should be very careful what we hear. Take heed what you hear, because you see, some statements are just meant to cause confusion in your minds and cause confusion in the body of Christ by people. You see, so you have this, he calls himself, what's the common sense, whatever, Abraham Moshe or whatever. And it's like, he's galvanizing the youth, the Christian youth are beginning to follow him because, you see, he's using reasoning and logic to deceive people. And you see, because people sadly don't have a good foundation of the word in themselves, when they hear things that sounds a bit sweet to their ears, they also fall for it. And so you have Christians who begin to question the word of God. They raise all sorts of so-called common sense questioning. And then, like, the word of God cannot be something that we put our trust in and all that. Please, don't fall for it. Stay glued to your word. The more the word of God gets attacked, or you hear people attacking it, even that's when you should even go deeper into it. Oh yes, you see, unless you can say that, I mean, you that means you are not really meditating the word, studying, reading, benefiting from it, you are not really experiencing it in your life, then but if you are, I don't see how something that you are experiencing the power in it, the revelations in it, the Holy Spirit teaching you things, you are enjoying fellowship, you yourself, you are having a good relationship as you read the word of God, the Holy Spirit is giving you insights, teaching you things, you are enjoying it. Then somebody comes to tell you, this book, oh, it's not reliable. Oh, this book, you cannot trust it. And you believe it. That means that you yourself, your foundation of belief was shaky. See, so let's understand the warfare that is going on against the word of God in general, and then in us. You see, so there's a general attack against the word. I mean, social media, people, all sorts of statements, people are attacking it in general. But then you specifically, to the devil will try to stop you from putting your faith in it, or stop you from putting your hope in it, or stop you from letting it be your guide in your life. Because if he takes it away from you, he's able to stop you from spending time with the word. He's able to stop you from reading, meditating, whatever, listening, audio Bible, all these things. If he's able to stop you from it, then he is cutting off your defense. He's cutting off the source of your blessings. He's cutting off your relationship with God at another level. So we have to guide ourselves very carefully as we get into these turbulent words, these times that the word is under attack. You see, it will not stop. No. That one, it is not going to stop. So that's why we should know the warfare that is going on. Yeah, we should know the game that is being played, so that we will be wise and know exactly what is at stake. Let me take a little breather. I'm Eben. I'll be back after this song.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. feel afraid, think I've lost my way. Still, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
This is Heaven. May I help you?
Hello, I'd like to know how to get to heaven.
Well, sir, are you a sinner?
No, I'm a good guy.
Oh, then you're sinless.
Well, I'm not sinless, but I've done more good than bad.
Then you are a sinner. In that case...
Well, what am I supposed to be? Perfect?
Yes.
Well, then how do I get into heaven?
First step is to admit that you're a sinner.
But I'm not!
I'm sorry, we can't help you. Thank you. Hello, this is Heaven.
Compared to some of the people I work with, I'm a pretty good guy.
But we're not comparing you to others, sir. We're comparing you to God.
Well, that's impossible.
Okay, thank you. Hello, this is...
Okay, suppose I'm not perfect, then what?
Then you need to ask Jesus to forgive you for being a sinner.
But I'm not that bad.
Okay.
Wait. Now, I asked Jesus to forgive me, then what?
Well, since he already paid the penalty for your sin, then he will forgive you.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
A very beautiful one day, you know. Okay. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, you know, that's why we need the word. When I feel afraid, I think I've lost my way. Still, you are there right beside me. And nothing will I fear. Let me repeat. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near to me to the end. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's the word of God. And that's why we need it more than ever before. Psalm 119 verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." Thy word hath quickened me. 119 verse 58, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." You know, the word of God is what we need in these critical and difficult and challenging times. So no one says the times are easy or times are comfortable and all that, but we need the word. With the word in our hearts, the word in us can make a difference. Even in the midst of the storms, the word can give us comfort and can give us peace of mind. Sound mind, the word can give it to us. You see, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So when we have his word in us, it's a spiritual thing we are talking about. It will calm you. So people would ask, everybody is complaining, everybody is lamenting, everybody is crying, everybody is whatever, but you are at peace. And you tell them, yes, the Jesus in me gives me comfort in the midst of all the circumstances. It's not that you have everything, but the word in you is able to calm you. The word in you is able to give you hope for tomorrow. The word in you is able to give you the assurance that God will see you through, no matter the difficult times, no matter the challenges. You know, sometimes it's as though you give up the faith, this whole Christianity thing. Is it really worth it? Is it, you've been a Christian for all these years, it's like things are just not as you thought it should be. It's like it's as though it's even more difficult since you became a Christian and all that. Hold on to your faith. You see, the enemy will try to let you feel that you've made the wrong choice to be a Christian. To be a Christian is not the right thing to do, especially these times when everybody is cutting corners to rise, as if that's the standard. People are just doing all the wrong things to survive. So you should also follow and do same. But the word will put a check on you. That, yes, everybody is doing it, but you do not have to do the same. But he, God, knows how he will sail you through the storms. As for the storms, it will come, no doubt about it. But he would know how to take you through the storms. But a lot depends on us, that we don't have to lose our faith. We don't have to give up. We don't have to fall for the lies the enemy will push to us against the word. Because, you see, when the word is our foundation, the solid ground, the rock, if that is our foundation, it doesn't matter the storms that will come, we will survive it. But if we don't have the word as our foundation, then just as Jesus said, our building is on the sand, and when the storms come, it will collapse. The foundation of the word is what we need to resist the fear factor. Because the fear factor, it will come. Oh yes, we are going to hear more things that will cause fear and panic. The fear will keep coming. The media, they are very good at pushing fears. I mean, that one, they will do it perfectly. You know, I remember I once confronted, one presenter at another station was using, I've forgotten the word he was using. I think when Omicron came, the deadly Omicron virus, the deadly on it. And I sent a message to one of his panelists, one of his team, like a good friend, that this word that you guys are using, what is so deadly about it? Because the case, that's the period when it was reported in Ghana, the school that this thing was reported in, not even one person has died of the over hundreds, whatever. Not even one has died. So what makes it deadly when not even one person has died? They say, it's true. You see, sometimes the media will just use the words just to push the fear factor. But indeed, eventually the thing wasn't fearful, but they were making it fearful. And humans as we are, when we don't take heed what we hear, so the negative, the fear, then it begins to control and manipulate. You see, so we should be careful how we allow the enemy to use fear against us. Let's resist with the word. Let's counter his fearful ideas and thoughts and words with the word. Counter it with the word, because when you have the word in you, then you can resist with the word. That is the power that we have. And you see, when you use fear as a reason why you are leaving the faith, then you've lost the battle. But is it worth it? If after all these years of being a Christian, you are going to lose your faith because of fear, let's resist fear. Let's get the word in us more and more. I'm Eben. God willing, next week I'll be coming your way. This is recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group as well. Good night, and God bless you.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto
Spirit.